2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Not signed up with us, make sure you do so. Use the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself a discount there on our monthly and yearly subscriptions. And if you want to check us out for 7 days, make sure you do so. Use the promo code WIN. You'll get 7 free days there just to see what we got going on. With that, you get 24/7 access to the Slack chat channel where me, Keith, Kevin, Chop, Burnsy, David, all the best names there in baseball that we got going to be up in there all day. You can also check out the Domination Station for all your golf and NASCAR needs and whatnot as well. Very cool thing that we got going on here at the DFS Army, so make sure you check us out. Promo code WIN to get the 7 free days, and use the promo code PODCAST if you do actually want to sign up with us there for the month or the year. If you want to find me on Twitter, my name's Al Walsh. Nice to meet you all. You can find me there at 14a.walsh. Keith Hall joins me as always. You can find him on the Twitter there at BoomersDFSDaddy. So Keith was kind enough to make it through all the wind to join us today.
Not just wind or wind, but rain, hail, lightning, thunder. It's like, it's bad.
Smorgasbord of weather.
Oh, dude, it's the Midwest and you know, storm season, and it's been humid here the last couple days. So, there's a possibility I might not make it to MLB lock tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
No, I'm kidding. Well, everything should be fine. It's just bad storms and stuff. I just don't like them on Fridays.
Yeah. So we had a pretty good day yesterday. Did a lot of good things there in the afternoon with Nick Pivetta actually coming through, 26 points for myself, and then a lot of the bats went off. JD Martinez, Chris Davis, Javi Baez, guys like that, all catapulted me to a nice ROI yesterday. And then late at night, the bats worked out pretty well for me. However, I went with the rookie Velasquez from Boston. That did not go so well. So. That's the DFS God's way of telling me, hey, don't be using the cheapest pitcher on the slate twice in one day and be expecting greatness.
I mean, it's kind of how it worked yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was just kind of one of those days. I really tried to get creative. Of course, I've been working a lot, you know, trying to understand. For those of you that don't know, that haven't been here in a while or haven't been around a while, before we got the Domination Station, I was a strictly not a one lineup guy, but I was around 5 lineups. I would hand build them and stuff. Then we got the Domination Station. I just started, you know, going crazy. And I actually had a lot of success in the NBA. Well, I started doing that in MLB. And then all of a sudden yesterday I was like, let's play higher dollar amount tournaments, not enter so many, and let's just make 3 lineups on DK, go from there. Yeah, that didn't work. So what I have to – and the reason I say that is this, is if you find something that is working for you, don't just all of a sudden on a whim switch it up. If you're good at building 3 to 5 lineups, make sure you put the time and effort into those 3 to 5 lineups. And then if you want to expand your skills, I guess is what you would call it, make sure you do it in an avenue that you can build and learn slowly. But if you do like I did and go all in on the multi-entry and starting to learn that, don't just all of a sudden, when you're having success, stop and go back to what you used to do and you hadn't done it all season. It doesn't work out too well most of the time.
Yeah, I don't. This multi-entering thing that you're talking about, I have no idea. I kind of just spaced out for a second, but it sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, especially when you have like five teams that have the ability to take down tournaments in the afternoon slate.
Yeah. Just the way that my mindset works, like I want it all, you know what I mean? And yeah, I feel most of the time that the one lineup that I have in there is a byproduct of the research and what I feel the most comfortable with. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like the most lineups I've ever done in a day, or most, you know, different, probably three. And even with that, like, I'm kind of like a single track minded fella, and I kind of like was going nuts. Like, all right, this guy can do good, but it's going to hurt this lineup. And then, you know, only one of them out of the three cast. I tried that with baseball this season. But yeah, that's not the way I operate. And that's fine. Everybody's going to find their own little niche out there in life. But for me, you know, I'm a one baseball team kind of guy.
Hey, I only have one baseball team. It's the Colorado Rockies, but
well, I mean, you know what I mean. DFS, you know what purposes. I mean here. We don't need you to talk about the Rockies any more than we hear about them enough. Right?
I'm just saying that when...
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
No.
You're trying to post your Rockies propaganda on the people again, and I'm not going to stand for it.
I wasn't even going to bring up the Rockies. I was just saying, you know, if there's one sport that I've found it better to do multi-entering in, it by far has been baseball because of the variance. You know, it's a little bit more wild and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, I used to be a one lineup guy. Like, that's where, you know, 3 years ago when I first started, it was my first season playing baseball, I was a one lineup guy. And I had a lot of success doing that. And then I started chasing qualifiers, and I couldn't do that, you know, at the lower dollars. I felt like I was at a disadvantage with guys putting in 500 lineups and me putting in one. So I started expanding and getting better and expanding and getting better. And I found that I can manage multiple lineups. I'm still learning how to manage 50 to 100 to 150 MLB lineups, but you know, I feel like I'm getting better. I say that because there's two lessons to come out of this. One, never stop learning. Always try to expand your mind. Always try to get better at what you're doing. And you can find that as you grow, not only as a DFS player, but you're going to be able to grow in your bankroll management and, you know, contest selection and stuff like that. You've got to continuously keep getting better. Otherwise, the industry is going to pass you by. And if you do that, then, you know, it's going to turn out to not be fun for you. And that's not why we play. We play to have fun and make money. So, and me and you, we enjoy helping people.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sort of.
Sort of.
Number two, what was your other lesson?
Oh, I already said the other lesson is, you know, don't, if you're having success with one thing, don't just stop it all of a sudden to go back to something else because it might throw you for a loop.
Gotcha. Like when you told me that you were trying out a new hemorrhoid cream and you were comfortable with the other one, but you weren't sure how you were going to...
Yeah, the other one promised me riches and a lot of other things, and it just never worked out.
And then it created even more, you know? And, I mean, that's the store-bought brand. Folks, if you're always, you know, store-bought brand versus the trusted name, always go with the trusted name.
Yeah.
That way, if anything goes wrong, you could sue them for a way a lot more money.
But, hey. Exactly. So.
No. All right.
Guess what we get to do today?
I don't know.
We get to talk daily fantasy baseball.
Oh, I thought
and we get to help people make money.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was going to be something different. Like, I don't know. I already talked about hemorrhoid cream, so I don't even want to throw any more wacky stuff out there. But, yes, Daily Fantasy Baseball, that is why we're always here. We are here at the table on this Friday. So, you know, let's break this down position by position here, and then we'll get to some of these other, hitters and nuanced stacks and whatnot. But top pitcher of the day, got to be Chris Sale, going up against the Oakland A's at O.co. Best strikeout pitcher right now by a mile in baseball. And that's really all you need to know for Sale. But any other caveats here that we're looking for in this start from him?
No, not really.
It's very simple with Chris Sale.
Yeah, it's spend money, play Chris Sale, hope that Adam Rosales doesn't take him deep, and, you know, go from there.
Why Adam Rosales?
Does he have because, oh my God, 7 for 17 with 3 home runs.
Boom. That's
so,
not bad.
Let's see here. Who else has some? There's Larry, guys every once in a while.
But they're all singles.
Trevor Plouffe, 12 for 40, but only 2 extra base hits. Adam Rosales is the only one that seems to really, you know, quote unquote, have his number. I don't care. You know, if you're in a qualifier tonight, then I think Adam Rosales would be a good. I don't want to say sneaky, but, you know, a good risk to take if you're not playing Chris Sale in your lineup. Make no mistake about it, he's going to be the chalk. He's going to be the highest owned pitcher on the slate. Doesn't matter what site, what the price is. With the quality of pitching that's on the slate, you know, it's kind of just one of those things that you've got to understand and realize. I mean, his DFSA grade, whoa, never mind. Okay, so his DFSA grade is a 61.01. They've got the Athletics have the, I want to say, fourth or fifth. They've got the fifth highest strikeout percentage against their handedness of pitching, and he's by far got the highest. The only guy that might be in a better position is Daniel Norris. But the talent and the strikeout potential doesn't equate to the Chris Sale.
Yeah, well, that's the fair assumption right there. I don't want to be a dick about it, but they have the sixth highest strikeout rate against left-handed pitching. But it's fine. We got the
point. I didn't say against left-handed pitching. I said against – I did not. I said they have the fifth highest strikeout percentage – on today's slate versus their handedness of pitcher that they're facing.
Okay.
That is below the Rays, the Rangers, the Padres, and the Brewers.
I see what you did there. Okay, fair enough. All right, so, yeah, Sale pretty much going to be the obvious play here, but, of course, there are some other options if you're a sneaky bastard like myself.
I have a question for you while we're on Chris Sale, because we've seen this, and we normally haven't talked to about anybody being – a guy like this, except for Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
But, you know, the variance in baseball, it lends itself to be an ugly bastard at times, right?
Sure.
If you were throwing out 50 lineups, do you go 100% Chris Sale and just eat it?
No. God, no. No.
See, this is where our contrarian minds go. Like, there will be people that will talk you into trying to go 100% Chris Sale today. Don't listen to them, because anything can happen in any given day in baseball. Now, what are the odds of him blowing up? Slim to none. But that doesn't mean that you have to have him to win. And if anybody tells you that you do, you know, just forget it. Because he's the only guy on the slate as far as pitcher that I think can really hurt you.
Yeah, I was going to say, here's my thing, right? Like, not 100%, but, you know, not too far off it.
If now, I'm making my max exposure, you know, say, for everybody else, say, like, you know, 45%, which is usually about the highest I go, unless for pitchers, I still would not have a problem putting Chris Sale at that 65 to 70%. You know, he's that good of a play in this spot.
Sure. No, yeah. I mean, that's something similar to what I was thinking. But, you know, when you do that, the big thing, like, especially on FanDuel, you know, DraftKings, you get points taken away for hits and walks and whatnot. But on FanDuel, you, like, the strikeout is strikeouts are more important than like getting the win nowadays. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes.
And yeah, because if you strike somebody out and you pitch a scoreless inning, guess what? That equates the amount of points that you get a win.
Indeed. You got that, and then of course the quality start is somewhat important. But again, quality start, not allowing more than three runs, the two go hand in hand. And having a good performance there, but. Yeah, I think strikeouts are the most important thing that we have to look at. I mean, look at Danny Duffy last night, with his 10 Ks, not giving up any run. I mean, he was just perfect all around. Somebody might have said something about that. But
hey, we did. We also said that the reason why we weren't higher on him was because of the weather.
Yes.
And if you sat there and you looked at it, like 20 minutes before lock, there were tornado warnings all over the damn place.
You know, it's like when I hit, submit my lineups for the actual lock, I had Danny Duffy in. But as the game grew closer, I started looking at some Kevin Roth tweets and whatnot. And it was an easy decision to get off of it. And I don't think one drop of rain fell in Kansas City last night. So, but
not
again,
until
that's
after
not
the game ended.
That's not his fault or anything. That's weather. And I understand that. So, yeah, I mean, look, Chris Sale with the strikeouts, that's going to be a fantastic spot to be in. But I do think that there are some other good spots that we need to look at here as well. Jacob DeGrom tonight going for the Mets on FanDuel at 10-4 there. Now, again, the Angels probably aren't going to strike out that much, but DeGrom does have double-digit Ks, four of his last six starts. He's a much better pitcher there at Citi Field. Again, the Angels are going to lose the DH tonight, so, they're not going to have that. So that part does play into it. You will see the Angels probably strike out two more times than usual tonight while DeGrom's on the mound. So you got to take that into account, and you save, $1,600 there by going from DeGrom to Sale. So I don't mind it. I don't know if I'm going to be as high on it as, I don't know if he's going to be the second best pitcher on this slate next to Sale, but it's certainly a decent option there.
Yeah, I guess I don't mind it. The issue that I have, let me look here, Jacob DeGrom, there's just better spots as far as, maybe the talent doesn't match up, but as far as the actual matchup, Jacob DeGrom's on the lower end of, that totem pole because of the way that the Angels – now, don't get me wrong. I still think he's a good play. That's not what I'm trying to sell you on. But what I am trying to sell you on is the fact that the Angels don't strike out a lot. Now, the question is whether or not they're going to play Pujols. I think you can play Mike Trout no matter what. I'm never worried about Mike Trout. But I don't know – if I'm Jacob DeGrom and there's no Pujols behind him, if it's Jeffrey Marte or CJ Cron, whoever they throw out there, how do you pitch to Mike Trout?
I mean, DeGrom's an ace pitcher in this league. So,
I don't care.
He's going to be scared of anybody.
But we're talking about the best player in baseball.
I got that.
Like,
if I'm Jacob DeGrom, I'm not going up there like, ooh, like Mike Trout. Like, I'm thinking myself, I'm a damn good pitcher.
And I get that, and I understand it. I hear everything you're saying.
I mean, I could see where Jeremy Hellickson would have that mindset.
But I'm also the Mets, who have been struggling. I can't – if you're going to beat me, you're going it, to – this comes to mind. It's like the Buck Showalter walking Barry Bonds with the bases loaded. Like,
right. You just flat out ridiculous.
Ridiculous. It worked out.
I know, but still ridiculous.
I would rather give up one run rather than, four runs.
I'm pretty sure we all would. But
I would rather have Jeffrey Marte, CJ Cron, Martin Maldonado, all these other guys beat me rather than Mike Trout. But I don't think that they're thinking that way. We're talking about professional athletes at the top of their game, and they have egos. And Jacob DeGrom, in order to get to this point in your career, you have to have some confidence, and I think he's going to go right after him. And it's going to be a great – this is one of the matchups I'm really looking forward to tonight. Like, just, one-on-one matchups anyways.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing, too, DeGrom, also, he had an ERA under one in three interleague starts last season. So keep that in mind.
Were those all at home, or were they – were?
I don't know. I saw it on the Mets telecast the last time that they played. And
gotcha.
I made a note of it. There's some other good ones here, too. Now, I know we've got Luis Severino on this slate. We've going up against the Rays, who have the highest K rate against right-handed pitching. We have Taiwan Walker, who's also on the road, but he's in San Diego. He's got great strikeout upside. The Padres have the second highest K rate against right-handed pitching. And then you've got Alex Wood and Daniel Norris, who are both in good spots here. Of those four guys, who are you looking at?
I think it's Taiwan Walker, Luis Severino. I'm not playing Alex Wood, and if you listen to yesterday's show, you should know why.
I have an issue with him anyway at 8,900 there on FanDuel. Not sure about DraftKings, but again, Wood's a guy that only goes six innings. So
yeah,
if,
I mean, these
if he's not striking out 10 batters, then he's basically useless.
Yeah, I mean, Dave Roberts, I don't know if they're just limiting innings for their starters early in the season or what they're doing, but the fact that you pull Clayton Kershaw when he's at 89 pitches and he's allowed three hits, like, it almost feels like they're just, they're almost babying all these guys too much. You know, we thought it was just with, like, you know, Jose or Julio Urias, and right. It seems like it's with all of these guys now. Now, well, it could be smart from a baseball standpoint.
For sure.
But I don't know if I really, really, really want to have a lot of Alex Wood exposure if he's only going to throw six innings.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I do think that this is more of a baseball smart sort of thing, because the Dodgers essentially have a six-man rotation, you know, like, and a lot of these guys get a lot of rest, and, you know, they have one of the better bullpens in baseball as well. So I think it's more they're limiting these guys early on because, you know, the Dodgers, according to Vegas, I believe they had the highest win total of any team, if I'm not mistaken. I think even higher than the Cubs, too. So, you know,
you mean for the season?
Yeah, like the over-under win total thing that Vegas does. So, I mean, you know, I think in their own minds, they think that they're going pretty deep into the playoffs again. And, you know, let's be honest, the Dodgers really have not exceeded. They haven't even gone to the World Series, you know, and God knows how long. So that's their ultimate goal is, you know, they'll sacrifice these guys a couple innings every now and again at the beginning of the season so that when October rolls around, these guys are all, you know, at full health.
Yeah, I can see that. And like I said, from a baseball standpoint, I understand it and it makes perfect sense, but we're not talking from a baseball standpoint. We're talking about DFS and I'm sorry. I'm not playing Alex Wood at $9,400 on DraftKings either.
Wood was down there like in the 6,000s, low 7,000s. It perfectly fine to do.
Yeah, if we're talking about like a $1,000 per inning, if that's what you're spending, then yeah, sure. You know, why not? He's a great, even like 7,500. I could probably deal with as an SP2, but at freaking heck, I'd rather play Jose Quintana against Seattle at 97, and we'll get to that matchup. I'd rather play Charlie Morton against Cleveland on the road. I'd rather play Gio against Atlanta Taiwan Walker's 8,400. Chris Tillman, even though he gets absolutely just knocked around the yard against Toronto. Matt Moore against St. Louis. I mean, there's Nathan Carnes against Minnesota. Tyler Anderson, well, no, he's in Cincinnati. But yeah, Daniel Norris going up against a very hot Texas team, but still a team that does strike out a lot versus left-handed pitching. I mean, there's some very, very good lower dollar pitching options today, and I'm not going to be afraid to go to them.
Yeah, let's talk about Norris here for a little bit, because as you just mentioned, with the Rangers, 9-game winning streak.
Did I lose you?
Hello?
Okay, we're here.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a risky proposition going up against this Texas team, but you did mention that they have the second highest K rate there against left-handed pitchers. And Norris exactly hasn't had the greatest track record at home. However, his last start at home, yeah, and I was ragging on him that the day that we did this podcast. I was like, oh, yeah, this guy sucks at home. Let's stack bats against him. He goes out there. I believe he gives up only one run to the Cleveland Indians. Has six strikeouts in the mix. So, yeah, for that low price there on Norris, I think he can be very interesting here. And, again, it's not like these Rangers bats have been, like, overpowering with the homers. Like, they have a lot of guys like Carlos Gomez, Lucroy, DeShields, guys that have been getting on base but not necessarily killing them other teams with the long ball.
So I don't know. That Ryan Rua home run yesterday, that was on a freaking laser. I mean, you could have hung laundry to dry on that freaking line.
Well, one guy. Congratulations. And he did it against the Phillies. So what are we really talking about here?
The fact that he hit that ball harder than I've seen a baseball hit in a long time.
Thrown by a Philly arm. Congratulations.
It doesn't matter. It was thrown.
Philly bullpen arm.
It went in, and then it went out five times faster.
I'm not interested in talking about it.
Okay.
All right, we got Taiwan Walker. Any interest there tonight?
I have a lot of interest in Taiwan Walker, actually. And I think one of the reasons why is he is I'm pulling it up here. He's got a 9.9 swinging strike percentage. His walk rate is down. His K percentage is up. His ground ball rate's pretty much maintained. His infield fly ball rate's one of the best on the slate. And the Padres, oh, yeah, by the way, the Padres strike out 25.3% of the time versus right-handed pitching this year.
See ya!
Yeah. You don't think you have a little bit of interest here?
No, I do. But, you know, one of the big knocks, now there's a good and a bad here. We'll go with the bad first. You know, Walker, again, when he was with Seattle, he was just an absolutely terrible road pitcher. And it's funny because he's had a couple of good starts here at Arizona, so... we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out over the course of the season. I'm not ready to say the guy's a terrible home road split pitcher here a couple weeks or not. Well, we're almost 2 months into the season now, but that part is interesting. Of course, the strikeouts there against the Padres, but a lot of the baseball nerds preseason had Taiwan Walker as this guy to make probably one of the biggest leaps in the majors this season as a starting pitcher. So, if these guys are right, we're going to see Walker probably heating up here a little bit. I know, his first couple of starts here with the Diamondbacks weren't that great, but he has had some very good starts here, including, I believe he had 11 strikeouts last time he faced the Padres, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I'm looking right now. That's actually what I was looking
for. I didn't get to that part of my game-by-game research yet, but if I'm not mistaken, he absolutely torched them the last time.
37 DraftKings points. He pitched 8 innings, allowed 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 home run, had 11 strikeouts in that game.
Hey, look at me!
And he was $8,900 that game.
And that was in Arizona, too.
Yes, it was. So this should be a lot better. I'm very interested. I'm very interested. The question I have is Severino, who has been kind of hot and cold after that, little 3-game streak. 2 of his last 3 have not been good starts. Why? But he's had some bad matchups his last 3 starts. I mean, say what you want to say about Toronto and how they're struggling, but they've started to kind of turn it around and hit the ball a lot better. Allowed 5 earned runs that game. Came back and bounced back nicely against the Cubs in Wrigley, but then turned around and was a dumpster fire against Houston. This is in Tampa, so I'm a little bit more apt to say, you know, whatever, and kind of go with the matchup. But you've got to be a little bit concerned, and I wonder if the fact that he's had a combined, let's see, he had a minus 2.8 on DraftKings last game, a 2.8 two games ago against Toronto. I wonder if that's going to get some people off of him a little bit.
Probably. Well, guess who was catching for him that game against the Cubs? Austin Roman. Sanchez was there behind the plate against the Astros.
Didn't we talk about that? Didn't I bring that up in Slack?
I've been talking about this all season.
No. What I was saying is didn't I bring it up and ask somebody to find out what his ERA was?
Oh yeah. Well,
with Sanchez and then Severino. Yeah,
There's only two starts where Sanchez had caught Severino up to that point, so it wasn't like a huge thing. But
so if you're Joe Girardi, do you just say and put Romine behind the plate?
I was looking at the numbers for Romine. I think part of the reason that, you know, he had that groin injury that kind of, you know, hobbled him a little bit, and it was right at that same point that Gary Sanchez was coming back off the DL. So they might just be taking it slow with him. But Romine, I believe he's only started once since Sanchez has like come back, or I'm sorry, it's kind of started, I believe it's once or twice that he started since Sanchez came back fully off the DL. So again, I really don't know, but I think the Yankees typically want to use that DH for one of their outfielders. I mean, they got what, Hicks, Gardner, Ellsbury. Judge as well. So
when are we expecting the Yankees to start coming back down to earth?
Well, it did yesterday.
Well, yeah, but that's one game. I'm talking like for a stretch.
I don't know. It's going to be tough. I mean, you know, being in the ballpark that they're in, that, and now that the temperature's warming up, that's certainly not going to help opposing teams' chances to slow them down. So you would think, you know, when they're on a road trip in a bad hitting park, like, say, oh, I don't know, Kansas City, but they put up, 11 runs the one night and I believe 8 or 9 the other.
The wind was blowing out.
I mean, these are, but still. It's,
significantly.
It's not a good hitter's park, but what I'm saying is.
I get that. And I'm not worried about
my
offense.
Short-term answer to this would just be, I don't know, because, you know, right now it just doesn't look like they can be slowed down.
Yeah, and I'm not really worried about their offense. Like, I know offenses go through swoons. Like, they get hot, they get cold. You know, you're not – all of these guys are not going to be clicking like they have been at the same time all year long. If they do – and their pitching is even decent, then they're not only in the playoffs, they're playing for an American League pennant. But their pitching has been surprisingly very, very, very good. And I'm not talking about like the back end of the rotation. We all know what happens with Betances and Chapman. I'm talking about their starters. Like, for the most part, their starters have been good. And if not good, at least serviceable enough to get to to allow their offense to do enough work to get to that bullpen, the back end of that bullpen, in a positive or neutral situation where they can play matchups. I don't see that happening all year. And I don't see it happening as like we said, the weather gets warmer. I think Severino is risky. I think if he's going to be under 10%, though, what's his price over there on FanDuel?
On FanDuel, he is boy, he's 9,200.
Ooh. And what's DeGrom?
DeGrom is 10,400.
And Walker.
Walker is at 7,600.
Yeah, it's Taiwan Walker over there.
Yeah. But again,
there's only a $400 difference between Walker and Severino on DraftKings, yeah, and that's and why it's a little bit, you know, different of a decision.
You know, and you're talking about you know, the Yankees pitching being so good. It wasn't good at all. It was terrible to open the season. Romine goes in at catcher. Everything turns around. He leaves. You know, we're starting to see a little. I said that the pitching would fall off a cliff. You know, I might have been a little exaggerating that a little bit, but you know, we're seeing it decline now here. So keep all that in mind. All right, let's talk about catchers since we were just talking about it. Who you like here to bop off with some sticks tonight?
Oh man, I mean it's kind of interesting because you're sitting there looking at a lot of these guys. You've got obviously Gary Sanchez, who's, you know, probably going to be our highest projected catcher of the day. He usually is. You've got Evan Gattis, who's pretty interesting. You know, sitting there in Houston, going against Trevor Bauer, who's not shy of giving up the long ball. Wellington Castillo, maybe against Aaron Sanchez? No, you don't want to go there. Jeez. I mean, Gary Sanchez is going to be the chalk. I mean, that's for sure. I guess Alex Avila, he's been hitting the ball really well, and he's got Nick Martinez.
Yeah, and then he could probably play first base since Miggy Cabrera. He's going to be out for a little bit, right? Did he go on the DL?
I don't think he went on the DL yet, but I think that's a definite possibility.
All right.
I don't think I can go. I know it's Michael Wacha, and I know he hasn't looked great this year, but I don't think I can go there. Salvi Perez against the lefty had Hector Santiago in Minnesota with that right-handed pull power. I think he's a good one.
Let me throw in here Buster Posey. I mean, yeah, he's going to be in St. Louis tonight, but he is leading all of Major League Baseball in batting average right now, so that is pretty fantastic. And then Jonathan Lucroy. I know we talked about Daniel Norris and him being a good start tonight, but Lucroy I believe he's still under 3,000 there on FanDuel, but this guy is just consistently getting on base. I would appreciate it if he'd hit for some damn power, but you know, especially in cash games, if you just want to get a guy that's going to get you some points to get on base, that's certainly a good guy to have.
Yeah. He sure is.
All right. Lucroy is right at 3,000 today. So I don't know. You might, if you don't go with Sale, you'll have enough money to play around with elsewhere.
You're going to have the money to play around with elsewhere no matter what. And I mean by that is there's a guy coming up that I'll throw it in there.
All right. The Orioles catchers, I know you mentioned Wellington Castillo. They have, I don't know what it's been, but up until yesterday where Caleb Joseph, but he had a zero. But, well, you know, let's keep in mind, he had a couple hard hit balls and he just missed a homer that went foul by 2 feet. But Orioles catchers, just go check out the numbers late, like over the last 14 days. They have just all been absolutely raking. So that might be a decent way with Wellington Castillo. Don't sell yourself short there.
Also somebody, if Austin Barnes is in that lineup, I don't mind him for pretty cheap.
Okay. I like it.
Going up against Nicolino tonight.
And also too, you mentioned Evan Gattis. Don't mind Brian McCann. I got them both at the top of my
They can both be in the lineup too. Yeah. That's what's kind of crazy about it. I wish DraftKings I wish these two sites they would make a DH spot. You can't put anybody in there, but if they're listed as a designated hitter that day, then you can put them in there because that would allow us to play like, you know, an Evan Gattis and a Brian McCann. I mean, that's one option. So.
All right, let's get to the first baseman. What do you like here?
Mark Reynolds.
Okay.
Mark Reynolds. Did I mention Mark Reynolds?
I believe you did, unfortunately.
I also don't mind Joey Votto. I know it's left on left, so his ownership will be a little bit lower. He's expensive, but Tyler Anderson has not been the Tyler Anderson that he's not been Tyler Anderson that's consistently been able to shut down these offenses. He seems to be working on a lot of things. So kind of depending on exactly what goes on there, Votto and the Reds are going to have a good game. Matt Carpenter always comes with a little bit lower ownership because nobody likes playing him because he's at first base. Kendrys Morales, Chris Davis. I mean, first base, as always, is loaded.
Indeed. Chris Davis, 5 homers in the last 5 games. Josh Bell, the Pittsburgh Pirates,
yes.
He's been bopping and rolling over the late. Jeremy Hellickson has also allowed 8 homers in his last 3 starts. It's 8 or 7. I don't know. Either way, it's not very good for him, but Bell has 4 homers in his last 6 games. He's having a lot of fun playing with that porch over there in right field in Pittsburgh. So another NL East team for him to pick on of late. So we got that. And then, of course, Ryan Zimmerman with the fantastic BVP against R.A. Dickey. He has been struggling a bit here of late, but, you know, the knuckleballer could get him back in the mix.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, second baseman.
I think you have to start with Brian Dozier.
Okay.
He's top of that order. He's right-handed power in Minnesota. He can hit the ball hard. I think he's a great play. You also got guys like Jason Kipnis, who ever since being put in that leadoff spot.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh. Have you seen those numbers?
Not the exact. I've actually seen it live. I've had a lot of Indians lately, so.
Yeah. Welcome to the 2017 season, Jason Kipnis.
You know, I want to bring this up because this is an interesting point. Tommy G and Jeff Manns were talking about this a couple days ago on their SiriusXM show, but a lot of people might forget about the Indians because, you know, typically they have a lot of these 6-10 start times.
Yeah, they start like 30 or 45 minutes before everybody.
Yeah, so like they're not on our usual main slates, and then they've had a couple afternoon games here as well. So I don't know, a lot of people just might be forgetting about them, and you know, both of them were talking about that. I thought that was a very good point that you know, we could all use.
Yeah, since being inserted in the starting lineup, he's on a 4-game hitting streak. He's got 2 doubles, 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, 2 runs scored, 2 walks, 1 stolen base, and I don't have the strikeouts. But it's the best 4-game stretch
we've had. With those numbers, I'm sure there are not many of them.
Yeah, it's the best 4-game stretch we've had all season from Jason Kipnis, and he's still only $3,300 on FanDuel. He is a whopping $4,100 on DraftKings. I know he's going up against Charlie Morton, who's looked pretty good this year, but you've got to ride a hot bat in a good ballpark, and I really like Jason Kipnis.
Yeah, I don't know how great Morton's been, but
he's been better than what he has been in the rest of his career.
Yeah, well, I guess there's only one way to go.
Go right? Look at here's his game log on DraftKings, okay? Remember, Charlie Morton that we're talking about. Okay. Mm-hmm. He started out kind of okay, 13, 11, 16, 7. His last 4 games, 31, 27, 19, 23. Against the Yankees, a hot Braves team, the Rangers, and Oakland. I get that's not Murderer's Row, but still. He's been pretty good. When you want to pick on Cleveland is when they're on the road, but Cleveland minus Edwin Encarnacion, or sorry, Cleveland minus Jason Kipnis and who was the other dude that went bonkers the other day?
Cleveland?
Yes.
Chisenhall?
That's it. They haven't been exactly killing the ball. I mean, yeah, they had a good game against Tampa that afternoon game on Monday, but other than that, it's kind of just been, you know, mediocre. So I really don't mind Charlie Morton, but If I had to go, if you made me choose Charlie Morton or Jason Kipnis, it's Jason Kipnis. It's not even close.
Oh, sure, sure. Neil Walker for the Mets, he's been bopping lately. Slash numbers of 522, 905, 1.427 over the last six games. He's got pretty good career numbers against Nolasco as well. Not as good as one of his other teammates, but we'll get to him in the next position. Yeah, Neil Walker has been doing pretty good. And again, these Mets absolutely need to be home. They went winless on that last road trip that they had, and Nolasco is certainly a guy to get them back in their good graces.
Yeah, I agree.
And then good rhythm, whatever. Let's see. We got to have more second baseman than this, right? Yeah, Dozier. I guess, you know, Cesar Hernandez is a little cheaper there, 3,200. He's not a bad option. Rougned Odor could be interesting. He's always hit lefties pretty well going up against Daniel Norris. Brandon Phillips, he's been really cheap, but, you know, he's going to be asked to do a lot more with Freddie Freeman out of the lineup.
DJ LeMahieu.
3,100 at Lisalberto Bonilla. I hope that's how you pronounce it because it sounds fun saying it that way. And I know we were talking about Taijuan Walker too, but Ryan Schimpf for homer upside is always a possibility.
Yeah, did FanDuel change that yet?
Schimpf at second.
Okay, so they moved Solarte over to third. Even though
just toy like putting people wherever they feel
well,
like.
Well, see,
it.
Here's what's funny. Is Schimpf plays third and Solarte plays second. But well, they had them both at second base earlier.
It's like the Minnesota Timberwolves with Carl Anthony Towns playing power forward and Gorgie Dang at center.
Yeah, but that's different in basketball, like, because positions are interchangeable.
And they're not in baseball?
Well, they are, but there's a designated position on the lineup that you are given as a number, and you're telling me that. Never mind. I'm not going to insult them today.
Okay.
So let's get together and let's use calmer heads with baseball.
Come together right now over me. Okay. You can tell why I do podcasting instead of singing. Third baseman. Now I brought this up with Neil Walker's teammate having good career BBP numbers against Ricky Nolasco, that man, none other than Jose Reyes, who he's got, you know, 53 at career at bats against him, but he does have 18 hits there, batting 340. But which is very, I don't even think Jose Reyes had four career homers, but he's got four career homers against Ricky Nolasco, so that can be an interesting spot to go. He's only 3,000. Guy's got stolen base upside as well, so I think that could be a nice way to go at third base.
Yeah, he's going to be low owned, and he's hitting at the top of that order again. He's starting to hit the ball a lot better. I don't mind that play at all.
All right. Anyone else for third base? Of course. We only said one name, so there's got to be. And if the one name is only Jose Reyes, of course there's going to be.
Jake Lamb's in a good spot.
Yeah, he's been rocking lately.
Yeah, he has. I don't, you know, obviously Nolan Arenado in Cincinnati is in another good spot. Jed Jerko against Matt Moore. And I don't mind Eugenio Suarez either.
Okay. Justin Turner had a nice night last night. When
he got hurt, didn't he?
Did he?
I thought he came out of that game early. Keep talking. I'm looking it up right now.
Hamstring. Yep. Sure did.
Damn. Him there was another guy that came out that was on one of my late teams that, you know, luckily I wasn't in position to really, really, really do any damage, but it did cost me.
That's unfortunate. I at the end, you know, once I saw, all right, with the Bosex guy, it was like, all right, well, I guess I don't need to watch the rest of these games. But just looking at the player bubble there on FanDuel, he's probably not going to play tonight. So. Good catch on that, and they say Chris Taylor will likely fill in at his spot. So we see him at second base, 2,900. Not a bad idea.
No, not a bad idea.
And you know what I'm thinking? He'll probably be at the top of that order because, I mean, Chase Utley's actually been playing very well lately, but against the lefty Nicolino, you got to wonder if he's even going to be in the lineup.
Who, Chase Utley?
Oh, my God. They have Chase Utley at first base.
Well, that's where he was playing.
I know, but...
Because they've had Cody Bellinger in the outfield more.
Wow.
That's one of the things I don't like about the Dodgers right now is some of these young guys like Cody Bellinger and Chris Taylor, they're playing multiple positions.
Yeah.
And so they're moving all over the spot. And I like the fact that Cody Bellinger on DraftKings is first base and outfield eligible. But Chris Taylor is only available at second base.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. And I mean, so on DraftKings, you can only play Chase Utley or Chris Taylor. You can't play both. And it kind of hurts a little bit.
By the way, Chase Utley is just yet another example in the form of that you don't have to use all of your salary cap because I played with, I think, $1,700 left over. And I could have easily upgraded to second base over somebody, over Chase Utley with somebody else. But Chase Utley last night, 25.2 FanDuel points.
Mm-hmm.
My man. You know what it was? It was me watching all those 08 highlights in the World Series yesterday.
Yep, that's exactly what it was.
I was talking about in the Slack channel for all you people that have no freaking clue what I'm talking about. Third base, not a really great spot tonight, but Todd Frazier went off, but he homered yesterday. He's going up against Ariel Miranda tonight. That could be an interesting spot.
We talked about Todd Frazier on the podcast.
Sure did. He's a Jersey guy. I usually do. Josh Harrison, 2,800, going up against Hellickson. Hellickson, I believe, has given up a .300 batting average to right-handers this season, so that could be an interesting way to go. Probably going to be one of the cheaper guys for me at third base tonight. I think those guys are in better spots than some of the other ones.
Yeah, I don't mind Luis Valbuena. I forgot that Luis Valbuena was now.
You're
on
confused.
The,
it's okay.
I forgot that he was on the Angels. So, Mike Moustakas, anybody?
Anyone?
Maybe.
I can go there.
Manny Machado, I wonder if he's going to be in
pitching for Minnesota tonight.
Sanchez. Sorry, oh, Santiago.
Santiago, left on left.
Yeah. That doesn't bother me because it's Moose.
The Moose. Hey, he homered Moose against Montgomery last night, so.
Yeah, he did. He hit that ball hard. As opposed to hitting it soft and it just kind of carrying out and flying. He hit the ball hard.
Let's get to shortstops. What do we like in there?
Pat Valeika.
Ooh. Oh. Authoritative on the Rocky.
Yes. He's 3,600 on DraftKings. The only one, I mean, Zach Cozart's 38. I like both of those guys. The question is, do we Kiki or not Kiki tonight?
I think it could be a good option. I got to tell you, Nicolino, actually, if I'm not mistaken, had a pretty decent start. I was watching him for a couple of innings in his last start. He looked pretty good. Good pop on that fastball.
Yeah, but this is still Kiki Hernandez.
I'm aware.
I mean,
I'm not as big a Kiki fan as you are.
Well, when you own Madison Bumgarner, I'm a fan.
Okay, but then you shit the bed against everybody.
It doesn't matter. He owns Madison Bumgarner.
Oh man, well that's that giant hatred coming out there.
But, yes, it is.
No, I just want to let's see here. Yeah, Nicolino, I wasn't mistaken. It was against the Braves. He went six innings, gave up one earned run, had five strikeouts. So did have four walks, which I don't like, but that's okay. All that in 79 pitches.
I think shortstop is a position where you try to go safe tonight. Brandon Crawford hasn't done anything since he's been back. I say that. He's had a couple. He's had some hits, but that's about it.
Well, they did take on the Dodgers that last week, and you know they had a lot of lefties going. I understand he can hit
Taylor
lefties.
Taylor Motter? But he's going up against Quintana, so maybe not. I think it's those three or four. I mean, you could go to Xander, who's been hitting the ball better against Kendall Graveman. You could go to Lindor versus Morton, or Correa versus Bauer. But I'm not paying $5K for Trey Turner. I'm not paying, you know, Gene Segura's been hitting the ball.
Three-run homer last night.
Oh, my gosh. It's the longest hitting streak in the majors this season so far.
We talked about games. Segura, especially righties against Covey this season, and hey, that was one of my guys. Now, Nelson Cruz, oh, my God. His first at-bat last night, he launched one right off of Covey, which should have been an easy single up the middle, and I think that just frustrated him for the rest of the night. That's me.
It didn't have a positive effect on
him. By the way, you're talking about Brandon Crawford not doing much. I hope you just have high expectations.
I do.
like FanDuel, 19.2, 18.9, 9.5, and then he didn't start that last game against the Dodgers.
No, I know, but it's not... It hasn't been for me, it doesn't feel like Brandon Crawford's had the typical Brandon Crawford season that we got used to last season so far.
Well, I mean, he was hurt, right? And then he missed, it looks like, 2 weeks? And then, yeah, against Cincinnati, he came back, didn't really do much. But, yeah, the last game of that Cincy series, he had the 19.2 and then, you know, two decent days there against the Dodgers, so. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's coming back, but again, Waka, I'm not Waka Friday.
Waka, ugh. Waka, Waka, Waka.
All right, so I like Crawford there. That's fine. Who else are we looking at here? You got Lindor, you know, going up against Morton. That could be a good spot. I believe the wind, if they have the roof open in Houston tonight, I believe I saw the winds blowing out.
But the panels as well.
All right, well, everything. Let's if all that's working well, but again, Lindor, $3,800, very expensive. You mentioned Segura, very expensive, but still like the guy no matter what. Zach Cozart, that's a guy who I had. Okay, yeah, Cozart's been hitting pretty well. Let me pull up his numbers here. Three straight multi-hit games. He's also had multi-hit games in four of his last five. He had two homers in that series against the Cubs as well. Possibly wind-aided, but the man is still swinging it pretty well. Gets to go up against Anderson, the lefty, tonight. So that could be nice.
Yeah, it definitely could be.
Okie freaking dokie. Anybody else here?
No, not really.
All right, fair enough. Outfielders, we've always got plenty of them. I'll start it off. I'll even start it off with your own boy, Charlie Blackmon. He's running hot here, 500
Chuck
average
Nasty.
Over the last five games. Yeah, he's just been absolutely crushing it. If you look at other numbers compared to the Rockies, I mean, his are just far and above the best on the team so far. Again, of course, batting leadoff, not a bad option as always.
No, absolutely not. He's a great option.
Because I feel like, you know, he's, 4,100 tonight. I feel like that's pretty cheap for him, especially in Great American Ballpark.
Well, yeah, because the only time that FanDuel apps are actually, bumps up the prices of the Rockies is when they're in Coors Field. Yeah. You know, when they go on the road for these extended road trips, their prices depress a little bit. And now we can take advantage of them. I still don't think people play the Rockies on the road enough, and I think that this is a great spot to stack the Rockies, especially on FanDuel where they're cheaper. Now, Charlie Blackmon's $5,300 on DraftKings. He's $100 less than Mike Trout. So it's not like he's not coming at that sort of discount on DraftKings. DraftKings did a great job about pricing these guys up today. You've got Carlos Gonzalez is $4,500 and all his struggles. Ian Desmond's $4,800. Blackmon's $5,300. Parr is $4,000. I mean, if there's word that Ramil Tapia might be getting another start, he's even 3,700. I mean, they did a good job about pricing these guys up today.
All right. Let's see. What am I looking at? I got plenty of outfielders. I'm looking at other stuff. Corey Dickerson today against Luis Severino. If a lot of people are going to be going Severino's way, it's going to be an interesting way to go. Dickerson, one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now. 3 homers in the last 6 games. Not to mention that he, let's see what else here, 10 for 26, 2 doubles, a triple, the 3 homers, 6 RBIs, 7 runs, all of this coming over the last 6 games. So I do like him. Mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken, didn't he take Severino yard the last time these two faced?
I can't remember.
Maybe that was Pineda. I'm sorry. Never mind. All right, who else do you like in here?
Josh Reddick.
Okay.
Marwin Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both, you know, good options. Obviously, you know, the outfielders in that Cincy Colorado game are pretty good. And of course, our boy from just down the road.
Yes.
Giancarlos. Did you see how hard he hit that ball, that double yesterday?
I did. Oh, just missed.
My gosh. Like,
I couldn't believe he got to second base. He hit it so hard. Now, of course, Stanton against the lefty, always a fantastic idea. I, you know, to be honest with you, maybe not, because I don't even see Alex Wood coming anywhere near his kitchen tonight. But
I like a nice little mini stack with him and Zuna.
That could work. One guy that I'm very interested in, he's even going up against my own team, but Adam Frazier, he's been on a tear lately. He's had 4 straight multi-hit games, 2,800 there on FanDuel. Probably going to be leading off or at least somewhere near the top of the lineup, but this guy is on an absolute roll right now. And he went bananas yesterday against the Nationals with 4 RBIs. Doubt he's going to have that same kind of game, but again, this might not even be a bad cash game player. I can't believe I'm saying this about him, but he's 2,800 and just doing nothing but getting on base, so I like this guy a lot tonight.
Trey Mancini as well.
Okay.
If he's in that lineup, I mean, he's been hitting the ball pretty well. Let's go on the cheaper options here. I'm trying to look here.
Oh yeah, let me be a homer for a second. And this depends too. He got prematurely, as FanDuel called it, pulled out of the game yesterday. A little bit of a groin issue. But Michael Saunders has been swinging the bat very well. Gonna have to see if he's in the lineup tonight. But 2,700 on FanDuel for the way that he's swinging the bat right now is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Obviously, you've got your outfielders there in the Arizona game going up against Jared Weaver. I don't mind Chris Young. If he's in that lineup, he's been getting more at bats versus right-handed pitching. And I think that's sneaky because normally we play him against lefties, but if he's going to continue to get consistent at bats, he could be a little bit of a late night hammer. Obviously, you know, guys like Nelson Cruz are in play. Jared Dyson is very interesting as well.
Great game last night.
Lurie Garcia is the guy that got hurt as well.
Yeah.
I had both him and Turner in the same lineup.
So did I.
So,
I had so many stolen bases last night. It was insane.
I had a lot of them and not enough dongs.
Here's one. Chop will like this one. Randall Grichuk going up against Matt Moore.
Yeah. He's a pretty
very
good
cheap
one as well.
2,600. He, and again, you know, I've talked about Michael Saunders, Randall Grichuk, Adam Frazier. If you're rolling out with Chris Sale tonight and you need those options that are, you know, because like let's say FanDuel, you go Chris Sale, you pretty much have what, like 3,000 left per player. So an outfield of those guys can really hook you up elsewhere. Again, Michael Saunders, Randall Grichuk, Adam Frazier.
Yeah.
Book it.
I mean, we'll have to see how lineups are constructed. There's going to be one or two guys in these lineups that are going to be cheap and at the top of the lineup. And we've got to take advantage of it because, like, especially if there's another situation like there was yesterday where I got basically laughed at because I recommended the Blue Jays cleanup hitter who was like, what, 3-for-23 against right-handed pitching? Woohoo! He only got 2 at-bats, and if you didn't have him, you didn't even have a chance to win. Like, and I'm not talking about cashing. I'm talking about winning the tournament. Because he was so low owned, he was so cheap, and he had a RBI double his first at bat, and then scored a run, and then what was it, a 2-run home run his second at bat?
Yeah, we should still laugh at you since he homered and then pulled his shoulder.
Yeah, now that was hilarious, but it just goes to like it happened so late in the day that you know, and He's in that lineup. It made sense.
Let's be honest here, though. Did you ever hear about this guy before?
No, but he was free batting cleanup against Julio Teheran as a lefty in that ballpark.
All right.
Like, yeah. I don't need to hear about him. You give me those check marks the way that Tehran's been pitching? Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, you mentioned your boy Tapia on before for outfield minimum price tonight for the Rockies on they're on FanDuel. So
yeah, he's got to be in the lineup first. But if he's in that lineup, then like this is one of our top prospects and they want to get him more consistent at bats. He was hitting 400 at AAA the first month and a half. They brought him up about 10 days ago. He's only had about 10 at bats. But he hasn't been getting consistent at bats. Well, the reason is because, you know, Ian Desmond is running all over the place and you got to put Parra in the lineup and you've got, you know, Mark Reynolds who's hitting the ball. You got Cargo who's starting to look better, more consistently at the plate, starting to put better swings on the ball and consistent at bats, not just one at bat and then losing it for the rest of the game. I know the results haven't been there, but we got to remember 2 years ago, he basically did this for the first 8 weeks of the season. And then the last 4 months of the season, he was the best hitter in baseball. This is one of the things I hate about major league teams. Like if the guy is having success at AAA and you can't get him consistent at bats at the major league level, don't bring him up. You don't need to. Like, now he's out of a rhythm. He's not doing anything. He struck out, what, 3 times last night in the nightcap? I mean, just let the guy play.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a spot for him consistently right now. So.
All right. All right, let's get to our stacks to end this bad boy off here tonight. What are we looking at?
Starting off with the Cincy Colorado game, I'm trying to look at the weather right now because it's the Midwest and we're getting, I don't want to say pounded, but we are getting weather. Pulling it up. It is only about 7 o'clock about game time. I think they'll play. Got to kind of watch to see exactly how it works, but I think they'll play. There could be some delays in there. Humidity's kind of high. And no less than a 40% chance of rain pretty much all day. So I think they'll play. I don't think I'll have to worry about that. But that's a game stack, a good game stack. Of course, you got the Nationals versus R.A. Dickey. Got the Red Sox versus Kendall Graveman with the wind blowing out there in O.co.
We didn't even mention any position players in this matchup today, but remember, Jared Weaver is going up against the Diamondbacks.
I said Jake Lamb.
Oh, yes, you did. But yeah, there are plenty of good spots to go there as well. That's a good one. I like torturing myself, so New York Mets stack is probably in play again up against Ricky Nolasco. Again, it's pretty goddamn hot here in the area, so that ball should be fun.
Not Baltimore, Toronto as well.
All right. That'll do it for us today, folks. Once again, if you want that free day subscription here to the Army, if you're not a member, of course, if you are, we will know that you're cheating, you bastards. But promo code of WIN will get that 7-day free pass for you. You can check out everything we got going on. And then if you like what you heard here on today's podcast and you already checked us out, the DFS Army, make sure you use the promo code PODCAST. You can sign up for monthly and yearly subscriptions. Follow DFS Army on Twitter at DFS Army. And then you can follow me at 14A.Walsh. And you can follow Keith at Boomers DFS Daddy. Any words of wisdom to take us into the weekend?
Stay safe. And if you hear tornado sirens, run towards a shelter.
Yeah. And if you're on the East Coast, have fun at the beach this weekend. All right. We are the DFS Army. We gone. Peace.
Peace out.